Okay, we're on page 53. We're learning the short hadrachas that the Piazetzna wrote at the end of this kuntras, this short hadrachas. and then we're going to finish that now. We'll learn some of the kabbalas at the end. There are also some of the nusach of the initiation rite. I mean, the sort of like the application, filling out the application to belong to the B'nai Machshava Taiva. So on page 53, we're up to Yud Beis. Ma'od 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 have yizahir shalei teilech bot lafraga. You should be very, very careful not to waste even a moment. Kfisha Nirsham Beseder Am Tsoim Oistazain, as we discussed before. Asara Regoim Shal Batala, 10 minutes of wasting time. Yiyu Beinecho Kaveir Chamur Rachmar Lestan, should be in your eyes like a terrible sin. 10 minutes of time wasted. Bad Batala Atom Meshalim Bechayecho. You should see and you should realize that Batala, wasted time, is something that you're paying with your life. It's something that's costing you your life. Because the time that you just wasted is a portion of your life that's passed and that's gone by without any significance. And you'll never be able to live through those moments again. As we spoke about, he taught earlier and he described it in detail, to occasionally remind oneself of the day of death, and the actual, what it will actually be like, and the time, and the way it's going to feel. And these 10 minutes that you wasted now should remind you. That's what he says. This is time that's died, and there's no way to revive this time. Wasting time. One should see wasting time, which is one of the favorite American pastimes. Wasting time should be in your eyes as if you cut a piece of your heart away. And you threw it in front of the dogs. If there are times that you can't learn, you're not able to concentrate and learn. Right, as much as you have to lumay chashayv b'Torah, you can still think of Torah, even though you're not learning at that time. Chashayv b'Torah, think of Torah, hadracha v'chasidus, different things that you could do to improve your Yiddishkeit, chasidus. Af b'shas chazoras hatfila. And so too, when it comes to the Chazos HaShatz, when the Shliach Tzibur is going over the davening, going over Shemnei Esrei, im ein machshavta chakula shkul b'Chazos HaShatz, if you're not able to concentrate completely in answering Amen and paying attention to the Chazan, takshev anal, then you should also think. You should also try to think some thoughts of hadrocha, of positive thoughts of how to improve. Unless if you start to think about these things, it'll make it difficult for you to concentrate enough to answer Baruch Hu Shimon Amen. And how much more so at a time when you're walking in the streets, in the marketplace, that your mind, your heart, should be fixed, should try to think of a certain Dvar Torah, to try to think of some hadracha, of something good. Because aside from the fact that you're strengthening your mind to be attached to holy things, which is the essential purpose of our group, this will also save you from God forbid, anything negative that might befall you, meaning having negative thoughts, or God forbid, being led to look at the wrong things. When you go out to the street, you try to have a certain Dvar Torah, a certain positive and holy thought fixed in your heart, in your mind, and to think about that, and to concentrate in your mind to go over it while you're walking, while you're in the street, that's something that would help a person in many ways. Yud Gimel, Tiktzav Kitzul L'chol Ma'asecha. One should fix a certain time for all that he does. There should be a time, there should be a limit. Ba'asel L'chol, it's time to eat. Tiktzav Mikoydim Chatzi or Rav Shah Asher Ba'achilasi. You should, before you sit down, you should set a time that this is going to take a half hour, it's going to take 15 minutes. That's the amount of time that I'm going to spend eating. Zahu, that's what it is. Whatever it is, it's 20 minutes, but that's the time. But people, they'll sit around, make a whole afternoon's event, just to waste time, nothing, to sit there and talk and stam. So it says there should be a time, a set time. If you're going to a friend to go speak a little bit with him, you're not able right now to learn, so you're going to spend some time talking to a friend. You should set a specific time, how long you're going to be there, and not more than that. Unless you're talking over, unless there's a discussion of Yiddishkeit of Chassidus, that's something which is positive, something which is machazik you and the other person. But if it's to go say, to go pay a little social call and see how he's doing and schmooze for a few minutes, there should be a set time. You should look at yourself and feel that you are in the army. Sha'ol zulaso lov, that there is somebody that you have to account to. There's a time, you have to report. And each hour is pushing another hour. Each moment is waiting for the next moment. And every action is waiting for another action. You're accountable for every single moment, every single deed. These are things that for people that grew up in America seem sacrilegious, right? It's very difficult to even talk about. But this is what he says. He's not recommending this for people who are just beginning in their avodas Hashem. He's talking to a group of people who he was hoping he had brought them to a certain point where they're prepared to hear this, where they're prepared to hear such things without being discouraged. Yud-Dalad. Leilo Shabbos Amasoi Shabbos Shal Yimai Sacharov. I always talk about this in shul, that when it comes to Friday nights and Matzai Shabbos is in the winter, Lo Yavro Lech Lebatola. Since they shouldn't be wasted, there's an unwritten law among from Jews that Matzai Shabbos is nothing, doesn't count, doesn't go on the cheshbon of one's life. It doesn't count. L'tov L'ra means nothing. It's just sort of it's time off from everything. Let's say Shabbos, then you have Friday night. Well, without going into the whole thing, what happens in the winter, Friday, a person can be done with his meal by 6:30. Can be done with his meal by 6:30, by 6, by 7. And he has a night, a whole night ahead of him, where there could be learning a little bit with the children, learning for himself. The whole night, and even though, don't think that the people back then weren't as tired as we are now. They were working long hours, the Jews in those days, and they had difficult lives. But to waste an entire Friday night, especially in the winter, and such a long Friday night, and there's such a long Motzei Shabbos, the stam to be mavatel Motzei Shabbos, this brings about, you saw what he was talking about, batala. This is mass murder of time in the most violent way. The idea that Motzei Shabbos doesn't count, or that an Erev Shabbos doesn't count. So he says, Lo tekadem lishkoy behem kaidem shah yud aleph. You should never go to sleep in the winter before 11 o'clock on a Friday night, or on a Moshe Shabbos, before 11 o'clock. Em lo sherayt sa'ato lahaktim lokum v'ashmaris ha'boiker, unless your intention is to get up very early. The Rebbe didn't know about Sunday morning. That was something that hadn't yet appeared. But unless your intention is to get up very early in the morning, so then to go to sleep early so you can get up early. So, some people like to go to sleep very early so they can get up much earlier to learn. Zechor behem es bairecha. And remember on those nights, your Creator. Friday night, Motzei Shabbos, lahavdil es bairecha, to pull yourself away from your narishkeit, from your silliness. Page 54, Ben yonei ahave v'yir, loy dibarna v'pratius, ki be'emes kol nefesh yisrael yira, Yireya Vayehevis is Hashem here. I haven't spoken here about the love and fear of God, because the truth is that every Jewish soul is filled with Yireya, with reverence and fear of Hashem. Vayehevis is Hashem here, and every Jewish soul loves Hashem. V'rakeven shekvur b'machatzel shalkonim. The only problem is that our souls are buried beneath these, beneath like piles of reeds. Right, it's like under a machatzel of reeds. Utmuna beguf. Yeah, utmuna beguf. And the nefesh, the soul, is embedded deep in the body. So the result of that is gam ahavasa v'yirasa tmunim. The natural and healthy love and fear that the soul has every soul has of Hashem is tmunah, is hidden. Umisha yisnahi kanal. Legalis is nishmasa. In other words, the Rebbe is explaining, why didn't I discuss, you would think as a chassidish Rebbe who's establishing this chabura, you would think that I would have focused on the two main concepts of Yiddishkeit, love and fear of God. How come I didn't talk about any of that? So the Rebbe is saying, because that's the natural love and fear of Hashem are the natural instincts of the soul. The problem is that the soul, one never meets his own soul. One is not in contact with his soul, with his neshama. So therefore, he says, "Umishi isnahi kanal legalis is neshmaso." My work in this little country, and together with the Chabur, is how do you go about revealing to yourself your own neshama? That's what we've been talking about. Your own thoughts instead of somebody else's thoughts, instead of the world's thoughts. Your own neshama, your own feelings, instead of the feelings of other people or the feelings of the media or of society. That's all that the Sefer is about. He says, once you meet up with your neshama, once you meet up with your neshama, gam ahavasa gam yirasa l'Hashem, yiritohert is galib ez Hashem. Then the natural feelings that you have of ahavas Hashem, of love of God and fear of Hashem, will be exposed. Will be, in other words, one does not have to create. There is this mistaken concept that I love many other things. I love chocolate ice cream. I love this friend. I love going places. The one thing in my life that I really can't relate to in any kind of an emotional way is God. I mean, that's the usual way that a person thinks. I can't feel any. I don't know him. I don't know what it means. I don't know what that is. You shall love Hashem. I don't know what it means. So the Rebbe is saying is that if you would focus on some of the excavation work that we've been dealing with, that he's been discussing, to get to the bottom of who you are, to know yourself and to be able to experience yourself, so then you would realize that in that place of who you really are, all there is Ahavas Hashem. All there is love of God and fear of God. And that's why I've mentioned many times in Shul what Rav Kook said in his introduction to his commentary on the Siddur, HaNeshama Tamid Mispalelas, that the soul of a Jew is constantly davening. There's a continuous dialogue, there's a continuous relationship between one's soul and their Baruch Shalom. So why is it that for people like us, the hardest thing in the world is to have a little bit of kavana, a little bit of tefillah in our minds and our hearts? We can't even, when it comes to we're trying so hard when it comes to a Shemoneh Esrei to think a little bit, when it comes to a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to concentrate on davening. So if Cook said that's only because of the things that are in the way. There's so many things that are in the way. But if a person reaches that point within himself that's called the neshama, if he descends through those levels or ascends through the levels of nefesh and ruach to get to the place of who he really is, which is the neshama, so then it's not that he has to try to think when he's diving to concentrate. When he comes to that place of who he is, he discovers tefillah. He discovers that in the depths of who he is, he never took his mind off of God. He never ever separated from Hashem. He's never thought about anything else in the depths of who he is. It's just on the surface of things, he's lost in this smallness, in the silliness. Now these are tikkunim, these are tikkunim suggestions. I mean, very strong suggestions for what the Rebbe wanted each of the members of the Bnei Machshava Tova to accept upon themselves. So in the beginning he writes, Tasu Pinkas, that one should have a little notebook. Shebo Yirshumu Shmoisa Chaverim, V'chol Inyoni HaChevra, there should be a pinkas in which all the names of the members of the group of the Bnei Machshava Tova are written, and Kol Inyoni HaChevra, and different things that the Chevra is working on and talking about. V'chol Misha Roitzel Estapeach Ele HaYachto Meksav Yodo Tachas HaKabbalah Neshem Eshala. Now, this, there's going to be a Nusach, this Kabbalah that we're going to read in a minute. This is an actual Kabbalah that the Rebbe wanted to have signed by anybody who was seeking to become a member of the Chevra. That everybody has to sign, that all the names should be signed on this Kabbalah. And he says, Tia Nechteves B'Ksav Ashuris. He wanted the Kabbalah to be written, and he wanted the signature to be in the writing of a Sefer Torah, in Ksav Ashuris. Not in script, but in an official script that is the script of the Torah. V'chaysim achareha, yo'id b'zeh, shemakabal hu al atzmo as a Kabbalah, v'takonis achevra, which will be a proof that whoever is signed there is accepted upon himself the conditions of being part of the Chabura, being part of the Bnei Machshava Tov. And here comes the Kabbalah. So let's see if after what we've learned any of us feel comfortable to sign. With the desire of my heart and with the longing of my soul. Nafshi ruchi v'nishmasi, to the depth of my soul. Hineni mekabel alai, I now accept upon myself, l'hischaber im b'nei ha-chavraya kedosha, to become attached to the members of the holy, of this holy chavraya, this chavra, b'nei machshava toiva. Kedosha eskal yodam, so that I may merit, through being a member of this group, L'chabes u'latahir is gufi v'nafshi, to purify, to launder, to clean, and to purify my body and my soul. U'lekadsham b'kedusha sakel HaKadosh, and to sanctify my body and my soul with the holiness of Hashem. U'lekashram b'avadosi yisborach b'ritzoyin machshova dibra ma'isa, so that I may be able to completely bind my nefesh ruach and neshama in serving Hashem b'rotzon, with desire, with will, machshava dibra ma'aseh, with thoughts, words, and actions. Kiyoseh shaloi timod, like a stake, like a peg, that like something that's driven into myself that will never ever budge, that won't be changed. Me'ata b'koyach ha'tori shenosna koyach le'ish Yisrael, and now with the strength that the Torah has given to each Jew, lahakdish gam Behema av kedusha saguf, gam behema av kedusha saguf. That the Torah has given a Jew the ability, with the Beis Hamikdash, with the koach of hekdash, to take an animal, a filthy animal, and to dedicate it and to sanctify it and to bring it to a level where it's able to be brought onto the altar, onto the mizbeach, and the Beis Hamikdash. Av kedusha saguf, that an animal is able to have this level that's called kedusha saguf, an inner sanctity. The koach hazeh, with this strength that the Torah has given me as a Jew, to be mocked as something and to give it this new mitzvah, this new reality of kedushas aguf. The koach hazeh, he omed atal lefnei Hashem. With this strength, I now stand before Hashem. V'hinini mekadesh es atzmi, and I sanctify myself. I dedicate myself, gufi ruchi v'nishmasi lo, with my body, with my soul, to Hashem. In the same way that God is never disgusted, will never turn away the hekdesh, that which a Jewish person has dedicated to the Beis Hamikdash, has sanctified. So lo yimas gambi, so Hashem, may Hashem not be disgusted or turn me away. He won't. V'yashu es kedusha so alai, and he will bring his kedusha upon me. In any place that I will be, in any world that I might find myself, the holiness of Hashem will hover above me, will be upon me. And I will be surrounded by the seven clouds of Hashem's glory, for now and the rest of my life. With all my heart and soul, I now beg Hashem, Shafilum chas v'shalom yizgarbi yitzvi alai. That even if God forbid, my Yetzirah will get the better of me, be'ezes manam and asmanam at some time. V'yachshileini, v'yapileini, and that it will cause me to fail, to fall. Al rega kamemer chas v'shalom. In a moment of foolishness, right? I'll have this michshol. I'll fail. Berotzen with something that I might want the wrong thing. O machshava, a thought, a dibur, a word, a maise, an action. Shein hepech ritzayin Hashem, that are the opposite of what Hashem wants. Gamkin Hashem b'ray rachmav lo yimaseini. Hashem, even then, with His great compassion, will not be disgusted with me. Will not reject me. V'lo yetzieni michutz lepareches kodesh kadoshim, and He will not remove me and throw me out of the Holy of Holies. K'mo she'ein behemis hektis yoytzis l'chulin b'shvil b'hamiyusa. The same way that an animal that has been dedicated, that has been sanctified for the Beis HaMikdash, she'ein behemis hektis yoytzis l'chulin, it doesn't lose its status b'shvil b'hamiyusa because it's an animal. Rak b'yodo ha'kedoshah v'apsuch l'kabel shavim, but Hashem's holy hand is open to receive anybody who's seeking to return to Him. So may that hand, Yashiveni Elov, may it return me to Him, b'tshuva shleim, with complete tshuva. Kashem levavi ata, to bring me to a point where I feel as resolute, as certain, as clear as I feel now. Ki b'leiv tamim u'b'dei yishara. Because I'm undertaking this commitment to the Bnei Machshava Tova with a pure heart and with a clear mind. Ani yotzei ata meitura de peruda, that I now am separating myself from those, from what's called the mountain of the Torah de Peruda, the mountain of separation. It's from the Kochas of evil, Umeshusa Sitra Achra. I'm taking myself now officially out of the domain of the other side of evil, Mikol Kad Dilei. And all of the Kochas of the Sitra Achra, Shema Astim, that I myself loathe, the Bitaltim, Bitl Gomer Ka'afra Da'ara, and I nullify with a complete nullification, like Chometz, like the dust of the earth. V'ani hoylech v'nichnes im kol ramach evar v'shasa gidei haguf v'anefesh l'mach neshchina, and I am now going and entering with all the limbs, with all the 248 limbs and the 365 gidim of my guf, of my body and of my soul, I'm now entering into the machne shchina, into the camp of Hashem's divine presence. V'hini mekabel alai mi'ata, and I accept upon myself from now on. That I'm going to pay attention and be careful of every detail of my actions, my thoughts, and my words, as it only befits a person who has been sanctified in this highest level of sanctification. I will no longer be hefker, that whatever thought comes into my head, whatever word comes out of my mouth, whatever I happen to do, I'll no longer live a life of being a hefker, without direction, without control. V'Hashem Yisbarach Yismecheni b'yamin tzidko, may Hashem support me and hold me up with His right hand. V'yareini v'yadricheni b'darko derech HaKodesh, and may he guide me on this holy path. Mitoich kol tuv ruchni v'gufni, with all good, spiritual and physical good. V'nizka ani v'kol b'nei beisi v'kol chaveirai, may I merit together with all of my household and all of my friends, v'kol beis Yisrael and all Jews, Lairichas Yom Veshadim Tovim, to long and good life, Smechim Usharim Mi'irim Ba'ur Shalmaila, a good and long life that's illuminated, that's shining with the light from above. Amen. Me'ata Yobit Alatzma. And from now on, you should look at yourself. Lo Kal Ish Nomach, don't look at yourself anymore like some low person, Bahami, an animalistic type of person, Sheroy Lo Lasus Kalamaisim, a person who, since he's so low, it only befits him and becomes him to do all kinds of disgusting, low things. That's why people do disgusting things. Why do people do things that are not nice? Because they think that they're not nice. They think that they're low people. So these are the kinds of actions that befit a person of my caliber. A person of my caliber does these kind of things. And since from the time that one is a child, usually he is hearing, you are a person of the lowest caliber, whether in school or if it's, God forbid, in the house, to hear these things, you are such a person. So after a while, you begin to think that these are the types of actions that befit the kind of person that I am. And how do I know I'm such a low person? It seems that the people who are closest to me feel that way about me. So since I'm such a person of such low class, there are the type of things that that low-class people do. These are the things that low-class people do. And when someone thinks that you're the highest-class person, when you feel that you're being looked at as someone who is on a very great and esteemed level, then naturally you're going to behave in a way that befits a person who's so esteemed. So if a person thinks of himself as being a shtik tuma, a piece of something that is tame, that is defiled, that's impure, so naturally there's no reason why he shouldn't engage in the kind of activities that become a person of his nature. It's only when one thinks of himself as being a shtik elokus, a piece of God, a chelek elokami mal, mamish, so only then does a person try to act in a way that would befit, that would become somebody of his status. I remember that Dr. Tversky, Rabbi Tversky, in one of his books was saying how he was thinking back upon when he grew up in the house of his father, who was a great tzaddik, a chassidish rabbi. So he remembers that his father, the way that his father would rebuke him was never by telling him that there was something that he did that was disgusting or wrong or terrible, that his father always would say, "This is pasnish vadim," that this thing that you've just done, it doesn't fit you, it doesn't become you, it doesn't pass you. A person of your greatness, a person of your stature, doesn't belong in this kind of an activity. I shouldn't have said these kind of words. And I remember, even though my father, you know, there was never, you know, I never have written a book about this, but I also recall that my father never ever would say it in a negative way, but it was always in such a way that this doesn't become you. This is pasnish. This is not right for you. It's not right for a person like yourself. Meaning, you don't identify. Don't for a moment identify with the stupid thing that you're doing. Don't identify with it because it doesn't become a person of your nature to engage in such a thing. So a person should see himself in such a way. Not like a low person, like an animal. Because a person who thinks of himself as an animal and sees himself as an animal, so there's no reason why he shouldn't behave in such a disgusting way. Chazal have said that one should see himself as a person within whom there is dwelling that which is most holy, that God himself dwells within you. Ish merumam hu, you should see yourself as an exalted person. Va'adover shekoshel fnei ish acher osolo, and there might be things that other people see as being very fine. There might be actions or words or thoughts that for other people they might be for them, but for you it's totally forbidden. You shouldn't think of yourself. You shouldn't measure yourself by stamp some person in the street, or somebody that you know, or some character from a book or from a show. For other people, it might be. In other words, look, when even the words that we use I hear every year I hear new things from the boys in yeshiva, new words that are on the street. New word. I see most of these that now are being taken from our friends who are members of minority groups, that the type of language that screams of low self-esteem, and language that in the most casual way people are put down, and the lashonis that are being used, just in the words that are being used now and how they creep into our vocabulary in a very subtle way. So these are words, these are actions, thoughts that might fit some other person from society. Perhaps it's a perfect fit for those people, but not somebody who's an exalted person as yourself, who's attached to Hashem. You should think of these things as being forbidden to you. You know, this whole, one should only, any thought and word or action, one shouldn't consider unless they're good for you. Unless they're good for you, unless they're really good. This is such a common thing that I've heard all the years, you know, you talk to someone. So a person thinks that there are different levels of being Jewish. So if you say to someone, for instance, you know, according to Halach, it's really not proper that a Jew should go to a mixed beach, to go swimming with women, a man to go with women, it's against Halach. So any educated Jew would not deny that it's against Halacha. What are you supposed to say? It's not. You can't say that it's allowed according to Halacha. That's absurd. Everybody knows it's against Halacha. So what does the person usually say or think? He says, "Well, you know, that's not for me. You know, that's not on that level. That's not for me. There's a separate class in Yiddishkeit for priests or monks." you know, that this is only for those people who belong to the elite. This is not something I'm not on such a level. I can't do such a thing. It's not my personality. It's not, you know, I'm just not like that. I wasn't raised that way. And these lashonas that a Jew uses as an excuse for why he doesn't observe the most basic laws of Shulchan Aruch is, if you think about it, it's shocking. It's scandalous. Not only that, but if you try to live that way, then friends of your past will look at you like you're some sort of a meshugana. Like, what are you, crazy? So they're so certain that not only does it not become themselves, but they're certain that you couldn't possibly live that way either. You couldn't possibly live that way. And not only that, you're giving them a bad name. But that's something else. That's not for now. But why is it that people get so nervous? You can do the most disgusting thing in the world, they'll have compassion for you. But if you do the most holy thing in the world, they won't. They won't feel compassion for you. They'll feel that you're a lost soul. That you're somebody that's, you know, you're just way, way beyond your... You're just going totally out of the realm of the of what's possible for you as a person, and you're just living some make-believe world. It's very sad. When Jews are doing aveiras, so then that's the real world. And a Jew who's committing himself to a lifestyle according to Shulchan Aruch, so that means that he's living in a make-believe imaginary world. And you'll have that caring friend that'll put an arm around his shoulder and say, listen, you know, it's very sweet, but let's face it, it's not you. What he's saying is, when he does that, what he's saying is, it's not me. It's not me. And you're my friend, and if you're not going to be like me, then I'm going to have to find a different friend. Because you're getting me nervous. You're getting me nervous. I don't like this stuff. I don't like this stuff I don't like you giving the appearance that you actually care about Yiddishkeit. I don't mind if you go about the business of Yiddishkeit, whatever the minimal requirements are, you know, so to wear a yarmulke and to, oh, you know, Baruch Kilalion once in a while, or if you, you know, to shop in the right stores, all of that, that's okay. But, you know, I think you're getting carried away. You actually are thinking about this stuff. You actually believe in this. You're actually thinking about it. I don't mind if you go to shul and hold a siddur, but now you're really getting serious. You're actually davening. You're davening, you're trying to think about what you're saying, and you're not allowed to talk. You're getting very carried away, and I think maybe you should see a therapist. Maybe you need some therapy. You know, I'm worried because I have many people that I know from the past that they were messed up when they got into this stuff. It's okay if you just, you know, belong, but don't, you know. People that I know, and they start to tell you stories. Sure. Chaim Yankel, his son came back from yeshiva. He went off the deep end. Went off the deep end. Did you see him? You take a look at him? Yeah, he's crazy. He's crazy. Sits and learns and davens, does mitzvahs the whole time. It's crazy. You don't want to become like that. You'll lose your money. You'll lose your wife, your kids. You'll lose everything. I'm sorry for a little cynicism, but, you know, once in a while, a person needs a little bit to remind himself of where he's holding. And the voices that are coming into a person's ear. Anybody that's ever been part of which, you know, that I don't believe in any of these things. If I believed in the distinction between modern orthodoxy and all the rest of the things, I wouldn't be here. So anybody that grew up in that milieu, in that world that's called modern orthodox, where you're supposed to keep certain things but not let them get to you, not let them affect you in a deep way. So if you've grown up there and you've heard the voices that are coming from that camp, I don't mean God forbid from everybody in the camp. I'm saying that type of a voice that is cynical and that's mocking any sincere... Huh?
Modern.
Yeah, right. So now there's a certain group that is formally announced its commitment to not being committed. So these voices that one hears throughout one's life can become so much a part. It can become so much a part of your psyche, of your way of thinking, that as you grow up, it, you know, you think that you should outgrow some of these things. So many of us, Baruch Hashem. You know, it's like, of course, what I'm doing is I'm preaching to the converted. This is a, you know, if they would let me get up in some of the, imagine if I would talk about these things in some of the big shuls and so on. So it really, people I'm talking to are not the ones who I need to talk to about this. You obviously are all aware of this, and that's why you're learning B'nai Machshav HaTov, or else you'd be reading the newspaper instead. But maybe what they call by the government a reality check, right? There's such a concept of a reality check. So a person that grows up hearing this, you think, you know, it's one, most of us, listening, myself included, So, you know, you're 16, 17, 18, we grew up in a certain world, and, you know, we have a good time, and you're not thinking about any of this stuff, and you wear your yarmulke, and you go about your business of being that type of a Jew. But it comes to a certain point where you would think that, like, I look at people, I see people that already have children, grandchildren, and they're talking, they're using the same sprach of when they were 17 years old. It's the same narishkeit. It's that same bravado, hey, and shul, and oh, hey, waha. The same nothingness. It's like the same way we used to hang out in the back of the shul, the guys, growing up, you know, in my neighborhood, growing up in the back of the shul, like 100 miles away from the Bal Tefillah. Growing up in the back of the shul, talking about this thing and that thing, and this girl and that car, and then you see people. It's the saddest thing, that they have children and grandchildren, and you see them sitting the same way. It's just that they got some gray over here, and they have usually very big. They have a responsibility to raise families and so on. They're still talking. It's the same mahalach, the same stupid little Yiddishkeit, without any depth, without any breadth, without any meaning. The same thing. So it's not even. When I look at this, I think Rabbi Yishlom, it's not even a question of religion. Aren't you tired of this game? Aren't you fed up? Don't you feel that it's immature? Playing this game and the double life, you know? So you go a little bit with a sither and you say a couple of words, and then you come back home and you say, hey, the rabbi said this, rabbi said that, and you make a little bit chayzik, and you have your Motzei Shabbos plans, which your whole life revolves around, your little vacation, your little Motzei Shabbos, where are we going, what are we doing, where are we going? Isn't there a time that a person outgrows that? I mean, a person's 30, 40, 50 years old, Rabbi Shalom. You still thinking about where we're going cruising tonight? You still think where we're going to go? Your whole cheshbon is still whether the movie starts at 9:42 and what's going to be with Shabbos, and Shabbos out at 9:20. How are we going to make it? And then the shaila of where am I going to get the, you know, where am I going to get the babysitter and what's going to be and all this cheshbonis. It's the same. These are the same things that we were thinking about when we were 16, 17 years old. The same way of davening. Same way that we daven when we were kids, with that cynical look, and with the, you have some people I've seen, I don't think God forbid any of you, but so I don't mean to insult anyone, I've seen people that they're walking the shul chewing gum, that they're sitting with a piece of gum in their mouths during davening. Now I happen to loathe gum chewing at any time personally, but just the idea of it. I told you when I was once visiting someplace, and during Chazal's Shatz, that a guy sat down and took out a Time magazine in shul. A Time magazine. I guess he thought the fellow next to him wasn't informed, and he would have to go straight to, you know, the more chashuv source. I mean, there's a mile, at least he's not talking. So I guess he feels the guy next to him is Namar, so I might as well see something, you know, maybe Charles Krauthammer has something to say that the guy next to me doesn't. So, we go like this Keseder. So you look at this and you say, what, am I crazy? I'm gonna die the same idiot? How I'm gonna be an old man the same way? So that's why you see some of the chevra as we grow up. We're getting older. We're trying a little bit to make a cheshbon nefesh. So he says, could be that these thoughts or these words, maybe they befit someone else. Maybe the guy in television talk, you know, maybe it does befit. Maybe the guy in the street, those are words that are becoming for him. But not me. They're not for me. Just because other people say this or think this or act this way, it's not for me. A person has to think, do these words or thoughts or actions, are they good for somebody of my level, of my nature? He's not thinking he should be conceited and think, you know, I'm such a big tzaddik and these people are nobody. That's not the point, obviously. It's just the opposite. The Rebbe is saying you should nullify yourself before every Jew, any Jew. And you should break your heart, shatter your heart within you, and say to yourself, according to the level, according to my matziv, to the way that I've sanctified myself and what I've learned and what I've committed myself to. You see yourself, your actions as being like Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person upon the face of the earth. Therefore, it's because of his humility that he was, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't measure himself, didn't see, you think that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a Baal Gaivi, even though he knew his qualities. Moshe Rabbeinu was the humblest person in the world, and he knew his level. He knew the level he was on, because the way Moshe Rabbeinu thought was, a person who has spoken to God, a person like me who has had these experiences, a person who has given such an exalted neshama that I should think even one moment of something that's not godly, so I'm infinitely lower than this next person. And I'm a person that has an understanding, and I've been taught so much. And despite that, I haven't lived up to my own personal madrega. Mi yodei ad kama poigam ani b'chol hanegosias shel machshava libra ma'aseh machshik dashi yisatzim l'shamayim. And he says the person should think that, God forbid, I've dedicated myself. I've sanctified myself in such a way. I'm something which is consecrated. That's to serve Hashem. I'm hektish, and who knows if me with this slight little which seems to be some little deviance, some tiny little thought, or word, or action that's not holy, if I haven't caused terrible damage. V'yischazik v'yischaber lahaytiv v'satzum me'ata, and wants to strengthen himself to improve from now on. Gimel. The members of the group must gather together in the gathering place, the home that they've designated for that. Not less than three times a week. That's when they had to get together, to learn, to daven together, to talk over these inyanim. And if it's possible more, it's even better. When they gather together, they shouldn't talk Nairishkeit. They could sit and each one could learn and focus on what he wants to learn. However, even though they could spend time separately in that place, the members of the Chabura learning and so on, different things, davening, but they should set aside a time where they're going to learn something together. In Pamachas B'Shavur, maybe just one time of the week to have a Shia together. A Yosef Pam, more times, Kfishi Yisratzi Roiva Chavarim, as the majority decides. Ubefrat in Yoni Hadrocha, different in Yonim and Chasidis and Hadrocha, Vechain Kuntras Azer. And this little Kuntras, this little Sefer that I don't want being studied each person on his own, I want it to be studied together. Shekulim Yilmudu Yachad, that all should study this together. Kshe Yilmudu Yachad, when they learn together some inyan min yoni hadrocha layavro love kal eze sipra meiser. When you're learning something which is giving guidance to you in Yiddishkeit, you shouldn't learn it like some sort of a storybook. Learn it slowly and carefully. Think about it. Yes, imoy say inyan alatzmam, and then try to apply what you're learning at that time. Try to apply it to your own life. Try to think, how can I begin to apply this that I'm learning to my personal life. How can I be mekayim? How can I actually put into effect, into use, the hadrocha that I'm learning in this sefer? How can I establish, fix this idea, this thought into my and integrate it into my actual way of thinking, of living? You begin to see the sefer in a much deeper way. And he says, Bechlal, any member of the Chavraya, any member of the Bnei Machshav HaTayv who happens to have, that something fell into his mind, a good thought, a good idea in Yiddishkeit, whether it happened when you were sitting with the rest of the Chavra, whether it was when you were home or you're just walking in the street, say over this thought that you had, this good idea, and your Chavraim should hear this. You know, you meet a Yid, you meet a Jew that he has a good vart. It was that type of a Jew, wasn't it, Talmud Chacham? You met Jews that weren't Talmud Chacham, but these are the kind of Jews that I saw growing up, that you have a Yid that he might not, he's not a Talmud Chacham, but if he's so good vart, he's so excited to tell it over. He wants to say over, I had this thought, I had a good vart. And not to show off, but because he's so excited about this thought. Because it could be that 9 out of 10 times what you're saying, there's really not much to it. You know, it really wasn't much of a chiddush. Wasn't much of an idea. Could be the 10th time there'll be something very good. The Zohar says that sometimes if you open up the knapsack of a poor person, you might find a pearl. You might find a pearl in the knapsack of a poor man. See, even though we're poor, but occasionally we're able to find a pearl. You find it in the Gemara, that in the Chazal you see that they paid attention to simple people, and that they would quote. That sometimes a simple person would say something and it would be quoted, and the tzaddik, the Tana, the Amir would review that, would go over it and bring it to the Beis Medrash and would discover. It could be that he's saying such a thing. Sometimes a little nevuah falls into the mouth of a Jew and he says something that's very special, and even though that might not have been his intentions, that might not have been the way that he would have expounded it, but Lamaisa. But you're able to find in these words something very, very deep. And we see that the tzaddikim pay close attention to the words of simple Jews. And they were able to uncover the jewels, the pearls that came out of the mouths of simple Jews and out of the mouths of children. That every single word was coming directly from Hashem. When a Jew has a good word to say, when a Jew is saying something that he's excited about in Yiddishkeit, then there has to be that there's a piece of nevuah in it. It just means that you haven't heard it properly. It means you haven't thought about it enough, but there's a little bit of a nevuah in the words that a Jew saying that when he's excited about some Torah, it must be that it came from Shemayim, that the Baruch Shalom is telling him something. He might not understand it exactly, but someone who's listening in a good way might be able to understand. Bechlal, and in general, kol machshavat tayve binyan avaydish mischadeshes b'mayach v'leiv Yisrael, any good thought of how to serve Hashem that enters into the mind or heart of a Jew. That's what I was just saying. It's a min hachel kol nafshahu. You should know that it's a type of an echo. That's coming from your nefesh, from your soul. Hachel kol tzaaka al nefilasa. I shall call simcha b'shasha elohi. It could be an echo that's coming from distress, from the anguish that you have of having made a mistake, or it could be the sound of great joy, b'shasha elohi.
It shouldn't be, though, when you're saying over a vart, you're saying over an idea, it shouldn't be just because you're taking up time. In other words, you have to be careful not to waste time. But it should be, it should not be, just to say more words and to show how smart you are, that you're able to say a good vart. That should not be one's intention. Vav. Now we're getting to the real Hasidus. So the Rebbe says, it's good once in a while to have a drink together, to drink some mashke together, to have some schnapps. I'm not saying that, God forbid, to get drunk and to act like idiots. I'm speaking about the true path of chassidim. To bring the friends closer together. And in order to awaken even the animal soul, to awaken it from its laziness, even a Jew who's not able to drink mashke because of his health. So he says, that doesn't mean God forbid to give up on the mashke, just yarev mayim, try to put a little water into the schnapps. But mashke also, v'yishti imohim yachad, to drink, not to separate yourself from the chassidim, but to drink together with the chassidim. Just put in some water. Put a little bit of water. Zayin. Acha sheyishtu mashke, now that you've had something to drink, Yizam raise a zemishal isairus, sing together a song of isairus, kama yidid nefesh, adonailam, mizmul adovar Hashem roi lechso v'chadayme, to sing a niggin, vim tislaiv navsham, and if there's a feeling of islavas that's catching on, page 57, then v'yitzu lirkod yachad, and there's a cheshik to dance, yirkadu, then dance. As long as you don't spend your time just sitting around drinking and singing and dancing alone. That's not the point. But you're supposed to be learning and thinking and talking about Yiddishkeit to bring yourself to this point. That's tam. And what he's saying is that the little bit of mashke can warm a person up in such a way. That's originally how the tzaddikim understood it, and that's how the chassidim truly drank. Not, God forbid, for the sake of drinking and the hoilus of narishkeit. When you talk, I was looking at a description in a sefer. You see how, you know, a description of Chabad Hasidim from 100 years ago, from Chabad Hasidim, like these impoverished people, and sitting down there with a mashpia and having some mashke and spending 7-8 hours talking and singing for bringing together simple Jews, wagon drivers, you know, like these posh the yidden. I was reading in one of the Svarim about the description of what it was like, a Fabrengen. It's unbelievable. The Madregas, that simple Jews were able to be, they were able to mamish be swept away from this world. To be swept away from this world. There's a Lubavitcher painter, a famous Lubavitcher painter, Lieberman. And that's not even his real name. That's his real name. Futterfass is the real name. There's Mashpia from the old Mashpia. That's the same Mashpacha. I think it was his brother, the painter. It was an artist, right? Futterfass. So he has a painting. He's a famous painter. So this Lieberman, this Futterfass, this artist, he has a painting of a wagon in the Ukraine. And this wagon has a bunch of chassidim in it. You know, they used to dress like these Chabad chassidim with the boots and they dress like peasants. And they're in this wagon, a couple of chassidim, with a bottle of mashke. Each one has like a bottle of mashke, you know? A bottle of schnapps. And they're in this wagon, and the wagon is flying above the village, like off into the, you know, out into the solar system. That's what it was. That's what it meant. It's a different world. It's partially a different world. Above this world, beyond this world. That's what it was. And that's what it meant for the chassidim to get together, and that's what it was to have a chevraya, for Jews to bring together in such a way. That's what it was. And it doesn't mean it's something that can't be, but that's the way that it once was, and it can be. Ches. Mokom vada chevraya yitzah kol echad mehem mokom akudish. The place where the chevraya gets together should be like a holy place. Mekom shel olam. It should be seen as the place of God. Beis harachotzer lirchay should be seen as a mikveh. The place where the chevra gets together should be seen as a place where they get together to bathe themselves, to wash away. L'taheris and the neshamas, to purify the neshamas. K'nisos and l'machnes shechina, they should see this as the camp of the shechina, of the divine presence. Shenimtze b'mokim ahu. U'b'shosh ahelach shama yiyah b'einav kilu yoytze atam and reshusa shel olam hazeh. When he goes to the place where the chevra gets together, he should see this to the, like that wagon that's going way above the village. He's going outside of the rishus of this world. L'snif gan Eden, he's going to an annex of paradise. A sniff, a department, huh? A branch of Gan Eden. That Gan Eden has branches. It has a Five Towns branch. It has a Muncie, a Bar Park, a Flappish branch. Right? It has branches, Gan Eden. It's not only in Gan Eden, it has branches. Sniv Gan Eden atachten, shahayu da Hashem lebeis avadshalam, that the Rebbeinu Shalom has allowed a piece of Gan Eden to descend into your little branch. And yogil v'yismach libo, your heart should be filled with joy. V'charod es kodesh, and with holy trembling, al godel oshro shezoicha gam b'olam hazeh, that you, how fortunate you are, that even in this world, in this physical world, you have the great good fortune, l'estata tachas kanfei Shechina, to be hidden, to be concealed beneath the wings of Hashem's presence. And the kosher came b'shosh shenimtza b'beis avad, sheyismach v'yikavein, and certainly you should have these thoughts when you are in the beis avad, in the gathering place. Shechina kadosha b'secheinu. How the holy Shechina is within us. Nafshi chaylus avasech, and my soul is lovesick for Hashem. O nekelna refona lo baharis l'noim zivecha. The Yairet Shuka Bekirbo. There should be awakened within you a great longing. Shigala Hashem Belibai, that may Hashem reveal to me within my own heart. May Hashem reveal to me Nitzah, it's a spark, Noyam Zivo, a spark of his of that glorious, beautiful ray of his presence. Teferes Uzay Shinimsakan. Al shloisha devar mechavraya kadosha emedis. The chavraya kadosha stands upon these three things. It's based upon these three. Al eschabrus chaverim, on the joining together of chaverim of friends. Al ahavas chaverim, the love of friends. Al esdapkus chaverim, and the great attachment of one friend to another. Lachen hagam shekulim eschabru yachad b'ahavas chaverim. Even if all gather together with great love, v'kulam yahavas el ezahav rabin, each one loves the other with great love. Even though you're friends and have a great love for every member of the Chavraya, each one of you, however, should have one particular close Yedid Nefesh to whom you could pour the depth, all the secrets of your heart. Ben Bidvarm Ruchniyim, spiritual matters, and Ben Bidvarm Gufaniyim, difficulties with Parnasa, with family, and so on, to whom you could pour out your heart and tell the truth. Dagosa, your worries, v'simchosa, your joys, you don't have to be embarrassed, you could tell him, this is a good friend that you did, you could show pictures of your kids and feel okay about it, right? And you could share the deepest feelings that you have. Nefilosa, you could tell him about your failures, you don't have to hide in front of him, you don't have to lie. You could drop that veneer, that phoniness in front of him and be real. Valioso, and you could tell about your aliyas, you don't have to be ashamed, you don't have to be embarrassed to tell him about that, you had a gevaldige good experience and things went well. You could tell him also you're not afraid that he's going to think that you're Balgaiva. The Chaveira Shameya, and this friend who's listening to you, this special friend, Yinachameyu, he can comfort you via Atseyu and advise you, Visamcheyu and be Mesameach you, Kechol Evshalai. Gambidvar Muchaniyim, when spiritual things too, Yatseyu, Vedyuchek, if he died to Matsov, he'll be able to give you guidance. And he'll come to you. And what happens if there's one fellow left in the chavraya that nobody seems to have chosen you or come to you or to be that chaver? Then the chavraya has to make sure to give you someone. If you're by yourself, somebody has to approach you. Another minute. I do not want that any of the members of the Chavraya should go in public and talk about what we're doing here. Talk about the paths and the things that we've chosen to undertake in our lives here in the Chavraya Kedosha. I don't want you going discussing this and schmoozing on the streets with people about these things. I don't want you showing off to other Jews. Because the only luchas that we have were the second set of tablets. Those are the ones that remain. The ones of this week's parasha of Kisisa were broken, were shattered. You know, because the Gemara says they were given publicly. And the whole world knew about the first luchas. The second luchas were given quietly. Bitzina, the Gemara says, privately to the Jewish people. And those are the second luchas that are with us. Omar Hashem, Ein Lucha Yofim and Atznias. That's what it says about the second Luchas, that Tznias, to hide, to conceal. Kamesha Zorah Kodesh, Yizgalarak, Bemaris Rashbi. Where was the Zorah revealed? The Zorah was not revealed in Barnes and Noble. The Zorah wasn't revealed on street corners, in Kabbalah clubs. The Zorah wasn't revealed on the streets. The Zohar was revealed to Rashbi, to Rabbi Shimon, in a dark cave, in a desert, Bahatsneya, hidden. V'chola Kabbalah nekrisoid, and Kabbalah is always called the secret. Kein kol avayda, so too with the avayda sheyeshba, his galus and nefesh. Anytime any Jews are engaged in something to reveal the essence of their souls, which is what the chibur is all about. And then misnagedeti l'shoinu pirsum, the soul resists and resents publicity. When it's something which is real, the soul can't stand publicity. The noach lo ahesta, but prefers concealment. Loi berash Hashem, God can't be found with his noise. V'rakim yirtze mi l'stapech behem b'tor chaver chadash. Now, if you have someone that is a possible candidate, you see, there's a Jew that really looks like he would fit the chabura. He would love the Bnei Machshava Tov. It would be for him. He is a potential candidate. Then you kablu I say b'sevi panim yofis. You should be makablu b'sevi panim yofis. V'yimsu lo divrei chavrus imrakiya borul hem shekavanos l'shem shamayim. It has to be clear to you that his intention. He's not a spy. He's not stam. Someone that that is a yenta that's interested to see what's going on. But if the chevra thinks that he's a sincere person that might really mean to do this l'shem shemayim, then they could talk to him and bring him in. Like the tzaddikim, you know, they used to go out hunting for, they used to send out their chassidim going hunting for certain neshamas, right? Leib Saras, you know, he went hunting for a bicycle caliver in the forest until he found him. And other tzaddikim, how they were tracked down and reeled in. So you know it'll be a toiv aloiv alachem. Then rishoy atal adabrito, then you could speak to them about some things. She is chabra aleichem. Im ein kavanoscha l'shem armav. It has to be entirely for l'shem shamayim, not for gaiva, not for anything else. Just for the purpose of helping this person, because you think that he might be a perfect candidate. He might be someone that would really fit into the chevraya. So Yitz Hashem, we'll finish the Kabbalahs next week. And then we're going to conclude the Bnei Machshava Tova with a tefillah of the great tzaddik of the Rebbe, with a mamish tefillah that would take this all that we learned and to bring it to that place that it needs to be brought.